2 Peter chapter 1, that's where we'll be in just a moment. This is the last message in a long series about the basics. It's back to the basics of living a Christian life. I'll talk about that in a minute, but first I just want to introduce just the idea, the big idea here. Something we really struggle with, just as our human limitation, is the future. And really, where is God leading us in life? What's God's will for our life? And today I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like. And we'll use this picture. A lot of times it feels like the way we talk about Christianity, the way we share our faith with others, even the way we do church on Sundays, it's that we think that God's will for our life is just for us to have faith, and then someday we'll go to heaven. That's true, sort of. And I use this picture. I spent a long time trying to find just the right picture for this. Sometimes what feels like God's will for our life, at least the way we talk about it, is that we've made it to the park bench and now we can sit down and relax. This is where Christ leaves us, right here. We can rest and sit knowing that Jesus has carried the cross for us. And again, there's something that's kind of true about that. We must trust Jesus alone to save us. We can't save ourselves, amen? However, it is also true that once Jesus has saved us, he has a plan for our life. He has goals for us. So you could say that when we've come to Christ in faith, that's when spiritual life begins. And now he's calling us to walk toward him. Today we're going to talk about what that looks like. Really, God's ultimate goal for us is no secret, that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. It says this in Romans 8:29, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." So there's some sense in which, as God's will is unfolded in our lives, that we get to be like Jesus in how we think, what we say, what we do, and that on some ultimate day, we really be like him, a perfect child of God someday. So I made this picture. I got a lot of pictures today. This is how I think. This is how I process. So I sat at the computer for a long time making a picture because I said, I need to be able to visualize this. I believe that every person in this church, in this room right now, is up here somewhere. You're in one of these type of areas. Some people in here are unbelievers. If we're just honest about it, you don't really trust Jesus is God who came and lived the perfect life and died in your place and rose from the dead. You haven't really ever reached out to him and said, yes, forgive me. I believe that you are my Lord and my Savior. You may be an unbeliever here today, and let's just be honest about that. You should be honest with yourself. I also believe that a large number of people in America who call themselves Christians may be unbelievers or may be young believers, and they might be stuck there. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he's writing to this kind of people. He's writing to young believers who are just still acting like babies. They're like, well, I have Jesus in my life, but I haven't actually grown up at all, and I'm still just selfish and greedy, and yeah, Jesus, I love Jesus, but I'm still me. Still a lot of corruption inside, and there's a lot of parts of my life that I haven't actually let Jesus work on. Young believer, there are many verses there in 1 Corinthians about that where Paul actually says, hey, you guys are babies. You're babies in Jesus. Now, maturing believer, I speak to you now. You may be somebody in here who says, I can look back on my life. I came to Christ maybe 7, 10 years ago, 3 years ago. It could have been 1 year ago. But boy, I'm not where I was then. I can see what kind of work God has done in my life so that I'm not perfect or anything, but now I could see God has really taught me, maybe he's taught me to be less prideful and more patient. Maybe I'm thinking of others more, but I also struggle with this and this. Maturing believer does have direction in their life. And there are books in the Bible written to maturing believers. I think the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he was writing to maturing believers because he was saying to them, hey, now that you know the gospel, the power of God, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your body as living sacrifice. So he's saying to them, hey, it's time for you to take the next step in your faith. I do want to mention, by the way, that there are people in this room, and it could be a goal of ours here, to be a spiritual mother and father. So that you're still a young believer in your heart because you still have a childlike faith in Christ, and you're still a maturing believer because God's working on you, but you're also, not in an overbearing way, but you are influencing other people with the love of Christ. You're serving people. You're giving to people. You're a spiritual mother and father. And obviously, the Bible talks to those people a lot. We read Timothy, Titus. You could read about how when Paul mentions Timothy's mother and grandmother. These are people in the Bible that are spiritual mothers and fathers. I only bring that up to just simply say that God meets us where we are, but he doesn't leave us there. And so if you could locate yourself on here, you could see a little bit of where God might be leading you to grow with the ultimate goal of making you more like Jesus. So over the last 9 or 10 weeks, we've been in this series with like really practical things. Can you remember any of the topics of this summer? Practical things that have been preached about and how we live our lives. I mean, I remember Pastor Matt spoke last week. Do we know what that was about? I feel like I'm in my school teacher mode right now. So, okay, somebody knows, though. I'm not going to say it. Yes, we talked about fellowship last week. That's one of the ways that God is growing us. It's one of the things that he's called us to do. We've talked about worship. We've talked about obeying God in serving others and doing good and witnessing. We've talked about prayer, keeping God's commands. Well, we talked about in this series, I know we did a message on reading the Bible, a couple messages on that. And we called these like the basics. These are the things that characterize a maturing believer. Like we're doing these type of things. Studying the Bible, praying, fellowship with one another, doing good works. So now when we go to 1 Peter, know this, that Peter's writing to believers like us. If you're a believer in this room, he's writing to believers. And the main point is that he's saying, believer, God wants to invite you to share in the divine nature. Now, that sounds like heretical right off the rip. Like, that doesn't sound right. But Peter said it, not me. He's saying, just remember, God's goal for you isn't just that you would get saved and then wait around until you die. Nor is God's goal for you just that you would identify with some religious group or denomination. But God's ultimate goal is to make you like Jesus, and someday you're going to really be like him. So when we go into 1 Peter, let's see the heart of the author here, who's going to call us all, encourage us all to make that a goal, the goal. Here's 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So he's given us everything required. Verse 4, by these he's given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. There's that phrase, share in the divine nature. And if we just peeled that phrase out of there, we could make it say whatever we wanted to say. But Peter obviously contrasts it here. He's saying that who you're going to be, who God's making you to be, is instead of being this corrupt type of person, it's to making you into this godly type of person. And we acknowledge that a big part of us is corrupt. A big part of us is against God. But now he's saying, I'm going to make in you something that's really eternal and last. It's something that's really good. And how is he going to do that? Well, if you look back, and you could still see it up there, his divine power, it says, and his precious promises. So this is all to say that God has not only called us to become like him, but he's also made it possible for us to become like him. And now he's going to get so practical with it. For this reason, and you can read in verse 5, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And here is a long list of things. You can just imagine those stairs in that picture, right? He's saying, here's what God's laid out before you. It's time to take the next step. And this is why, as I was studying the passage this week, that I was convinced that God doesn't just want us to have faith. He does want us to have faith. But if we have true faith, it's going to lead to what? It's right there in the passage. True faith leads to what? No, look at the passage. What does it say up there? True faith. Make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Right. I mean, you can't really be good if you don't first have God at work in you through faith. And then supplement your goodness with knowledge. And I wrote down in my notes, just thinking about each one of these words, man, each one of these words to meditate. Like, what does it really mean to be good? What does it really mean to know? Here's what I wrote for good. If we're good, then we're growing in virtue. We're going to be good to others. And if we're adding knowledge into our life, then it's not just knowledge of anything. It's really knowing God. You can do that by reading the Bible. It says self-control. Add self-control. Okay, you might have gotten this far into the message and thought, there's not really anything for me yet. But I'll be honest, self-control, that's one we could all work on. Self-control might be saying, no, I'm not going to get that second, that second helping for whatever reason. I'm not going to be greedy or anything. Or I'm not going to take that second glance. Self-control means giving over control of ourselves to God. That's something we all, need to work on. Because we're so naturally in control of ourselves, and we get to decide, man, this is the anthem of our culture right now, that we get to decide what's good for us. But here, self-control says, well, God gets to control me. It's really unnatural, isn't it? It's supernatural. It says, put on self-control with endurance. Man, I don't want to put on endurance. Endurance means that I need to have patient faith, even when the situation is not what I want it to be. And the only way for me to even put on endurance is for me to go through a situation that's not exactly how I want it to be. So I do want to encourage you to say this. if you're going through a situation that's not how you want it to be, and you probably are, it's not just a sad coincidence. It's also a way by which God is putting in you endurance. Look at godliness. Godliness is devotion to God. And brotherly affection. I mean, we're hopefully doing that here. Brotherly affection. Serving one another. Doing good to one another. And then the last one is love. It's wild to me that we would have this whole list of things that God is saying, hey, this is how I want you to grow. This is what I'm calling you to put on. But it's not like it ever gets past this main thing. It ends with love. That you're getting closer to God and you're growing and you're going all the way up and you've been through all these things and you've got self-control and you've got endurance and you've got godliness, but still in the end of it, what is it if it's not loving God, loving God's people? Doesn't that tell you something about the nature of God? That's the kind of thing he's calling us to. I made this little picture here with the steps on it. Told you there was a lot of pictures. And this picture here is really just to show us that God has a plan for our lives. He has a goal for us to make us like Jesus. But you can't really do one without the other. These are all the steps where God is growing us and developing us and building us. You can't just go out here and say, well, I'm just going to have self-control today. But if you don't, underneath of all that, truly have faith in God, if you don't really know God, are you going to be able to just on your own turn that corrupt, self-controlling part of yourself over? Absolutely not. It's his power. It's his promises. So I want to encourage you with not where does faith in Christ leave us, but where does it lead us? It leads us to spiritual growth. And so as I was thinking about all the things Peter's calling us to, I said, is no coincidence that Peter's calling us to all this stuff, yet at the same time, our series is calling us to all these other actions, and they're actually related in a big way. See, God calls us to put on faith and knowledge and self-control, goodness and endurance, but in order for that to happen, we need to meet with God and be able to access his power in our lives. So let's look at this chart here. Here's what God calls us to put on and where God empowers us to do it. Just think, out here somewhere, there's a man struggling with faith and self-control. And he might even be calling his friends and texting people. He might be doing posts on Facebook about how he's really struggling with his faith. But is he meeting God in prayer and surrounding himself with the fellowship of believers? See how the thing on the left is really connected to the thing on the right? There might be a woman out there saying, oh, well, I'm really loving. I'm just a loving person. But is she actually doing good for others? Or does she simply love the people who do good things for her? So you can't really put on love if you don't have some fellowship and obedience in your life. Here's what God's calling us to put on, but here's where he empowers us to do it. A young person might think that they know a lot about God, but how much of the Bible have they put to memory? Does their knowing about God really make a difference in their life choices? So you could say, I want to put on knowledge, but how are you going to do that if you're not spending time in the Bible? Maybe there's an old person that's struggling with some toxic person in their life. It's just wearing them down. Have they given up meeting with God in prayer about it? How are you going to have endurance if you don't have prayer in your life? This is where God empowers us to put on these things. Could say the same thing about a pastor. Pastor could put on this image of godliness, right? They could look really devoted to God, but are they truly worshiping God in their heart? That was the kind of question I thought about. You know, I could pretend like I have all this stuff, but if it's not backed up here, are we really growing? Well, let's go now and look at the rest of 2 Peter, because I think that now Peter's going to say, hey, I called you to all of this stuff because God wants to make you more like Jesus. Now I'm going to explain to you why that's so important. Be thinking in your back of your mind the question, why grow? If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. There's so many things in here. Why grow? Well, we don't want to be blind and short-sighted. We don't want to forget the cleansing from our past sins. If we go back here, we don't want to be useless and unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. I summarized it here. Why grow? Well, according to Peter, we should grow because we are cleansed. We should grow because we know Christ. We should grow because God's putting the desire in us to grow. We should grow because we don't want to waste our lives. It's like this picture again. If we're really just content that we made it to the bench and we could sit down and chill, then maybe we've really missed the point that God is trying to make us more like him. If we just got to the bench and we sat down, maybe we were just thinking, religion's my ticket to heaven and I'm good here. But these people who are up on the path, they're saying, wow, I really want to pursue God. I want to grow, whether I'm 16 and I'm, you know, I got to ask my mom's permission to leave the house, but I still can grow, you know, even if I'm a small child, I could grow. Or whether I'm 65 and I felt like, you know, oh, I'm kind of can't teach an old dog new tricks. No, God's still calling us to grow, to seek him, to be more like him. And that's exactly Peter's idea here. So this is where he ends the passage. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort, every effort. Now we're like climbing with all the last of strength in our muscles to confirm your calling and election. Because if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, entering into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Make every effort. I think it's neat how he says, confirm your calling here. Don't get it twisted. Some people always we think that, okay, if we do the good things, then God will accept us. No, 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 no. But if God has already forgiven you and saved you, then you should want to go his way. So he's really saying here, if you're depending on him, you're going to start living out what he's doing in you. Or like Jesus said, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If God has saved you, then now you're really at the beginning of his work in you. This is the idea of spiritual growth. And as you walk towards him, it just proves that you really belong to him. Like if there's something happened in your life where you've become more self-controlled and you're more enduring, it's not just that you put on a show, but God's really working in you. It proves that God is in you, that God has saved you, and that he is making you more like Jesus. Your upward walk proves that you are his. So if we could just be honest with each other now, what is the fruit in your life? That's a question for serious reflection. What is the fruit in your life? If you really look at your life, you could say, yeah, I'm not really trusting Jesus to save me. I'm still just doing my own thing. Or you might be here and say, yeah, I know that I've trusted Jesus, but the fruit's not happening. I'm just still being a baby Christian. To those who are not believing, I pray that God's Spirit would wake you up today and wake you up for your need of Jesus, your need to be forgiven by him. That's my prayer. To those who are believing but not growing, I put you as a baby on there. Know this, that God, through his word, right now exhorts you to grow. And to those of you who are growing, because there's some people in here that are growing right now, and whether it's slow or fast, you're growing, you're becoming more like Jesus, but you have not arrived. And so the Apostle Peter encourages you to put on faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. These, and this is what I wrote here, so my last sentence on here, I think these are worthy goals. For these worthy goals are God's will for you. Let's spend a moment in prayer right now, just reflecting on how God is calling us to grow. And then we're going to transition into, actually today we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. God, we need your Spirit to come in and convict us of where we've just allowed the growth to stall, where we've really been saying no to you, but we want to welcome you now to take the corrupt parts of our life and conform them to your nature. Help us to believe that our spiritual growth matters. I pray that our growth would show that your power is at work in us. We know and we confess this, that your ultimate goal for us is not just to give us a ticket to heaven. We know that your ultimate goal for us is that we might be like Christ in what we think and we say and we do. So, Lord, may your promises and your power work in us today to help us take our next step in you. In Jesus' name, amen.